It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the ball!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la bonne! Et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens. Le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked the young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground. Your premier gaming destination. It's gonna be sick.
Marinaro, the Sick Podcast on this Thursday, May 9th. You know, my buddy Rob called me the other day and he told me the Toronto Maple Leafs should be a case study. And I said, what do you mean? About how to screw something up so that the Montreal Canadiens can avoid it. So Rob, thank you. I don't know if you've ever been a program director before in your life, but you gave me a pretty good idea. So the Sick Podcast is brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group. It's brought to you in part by La Vita TV. It's brought to you in part by Playground, and it's brought to you in part by Accent Insurance Solutions. So he's the busiest guy in probably all of Ontario. He's the co-host of Breakfast Television, formerly of the Tim and Sid Show. He's one of my favorite in this business. I've said that before. I'm going to say it again because he has a passion that is extremely high. He is extremely opinionated. I like some of his opinions. Never really liked the one on Lionel Messi, but hey, I digress. Let's bring him in for what will be about a 30-minute show, but it'll be so intense that it's going to feel like 2 hours. Sid Sixero, how are you, buddy?
Brother, has it been a year already?
It's going to be a battle. He's wearing the NWO t-shirt. Look at that.
Dude, it's dawn of a new day here in Toronto. Are you kidding me? Yeah. This is the outsiders have come into MLSE and have decided to throw the cat amongst the pigeons, so to speak. The fans, for the first time in I don't know how long in this market, Tone, they got what they wanted. I'm not dancing on anyone's grave. Sheldon's going to be fine. And his video that he put out today was about as classy as you could possibly get. Tony, I don't know if you saw it yet. It looks like by the cottage. It was about as classy as you could film one. And he's going to be fine. There are reports. He's already in contact with the Devils for an interview. He's not going to be out of work long if he wants to be.
No, I don't think he's going to be out of work long. You're right about that. And you know what? I'm very torn on this because once again, let's bring it up. Toronto Maple Leafs announcing that Sheldon Keefe was relieved of his duties. Do we have it? Here we go. And this took place earlier this morning. Sheldon Keefe has been relieved of his role as head coach. The organization will immediately begin the search for a new head coach. You know, at one point when they were down 3-1 in the series versus the Bruins, I said, you know what? Keefe is out. But then I have to tell you, even though they lost, they won Game 5. They won Game 6. They lost Game 7 by an overtime goal. They could have won that game with a little bit of luck. They pushed the Bruins to Game 7 overtime. Matthews was out for a couple of games. Nylander was out for a couple of games. His goalie, who was the hottest one out of the two goalies that were used, who won Game 5 and Game 6, couldn't play Game 7 because he got hurt. I mean, I don't understand. And I've been asking myself all day, Sid, and you're the best one to answer this. If they score with, a second left in that game, that puck that redirects and Swayman stops it. If that goes in and the Leafs win and they're in the second round, let's just say they lose in the second round. Is Keith fired?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, that's what people don't get about that situation. Like, and it's a very good question. It's a very good hypothetical, and it makes a lot of sense. Because, like, either way, like, was Montgomery gone? If that goal goes the other way? Like, there was a lot on the line, it felt, with that goal. But even if the Leafs scrape by and heaven forbid, hold on to a lead in the third period in Boston, if they get skunked again in five against Florida, which, honest to God, was always in the cards. I mean, you don't know how it's going to play out, but come on. You have a seasoned Florida team over there. They're feeling good. They have a lot more experience under their belt. I didn't see the Leafs coming at it. And that's the funny part about this market. Even going into game seven, like, you didn't hear any "we want Floridas this year" from this fan base.
No.
You didn't hear that.
No.
Like, so basically Florida, like, it's tough to absorb this fact because it sounds so weird. This fan base in this market weren't looking for 1 second past game seven because they knew. They knew disaster would strike again. So that hypothetical, as strong as it is, it was no one brought it up. You're the first guy in a week to have brought up that hypothetical to me because it was so out of the realm of the market's headspace going into that seventh game.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at with that.
So why don't we do this as this is our case study as to what the Montreal Canadiens shouldn't do, where the Leafs went wrong. And so the Canadiens know what they have to avoid in this trying to do a rebuild, because the Leafs, of course, they went through this, right? They were bad for a couple of years, and then they parted ways with some players, parted ways with Kessel, parted ways with Phaneuf, ended up being rock bottom, knew exactly when to do it around the Matthews draft. And they ended up drafting guys like Austin Matthews, number one, Mitch Marner, number four. Nylander was drafted seven, I believe, or where was he drafted? Something like that.
Marner was four.
Yeah, Riley was five.
Yeah.
Five. So they were bad for a while, and that was their rebuild. I got to tell you, count me among those who thought early on in the rebuild, one day the Toronto Maple Leafs will win the cup with what they're trying to do. I thought that. Then, after a couple of years, I was realizing I don't think they understand what they're doing here. I think they're getting it wrong. For me, and we'll talk about it at one point, not just yet, but a turning point was signing Tavares. I don't think they should have done that. I think they forced the issue. I think they should have spent their money elsewhere. But we'll get to that. Why don't we bring up a timeline? Let's do that. All right. Just so
we got graphics.
Everyone knows all the facts.
Here we go.
All right. Okay. April of 2014, Brendan Shanahan is hired as president of the Toronto Maple Leafs. April of 2015, the GM who was hired before Shanahan got there, Dave Nonis, was relieved of his duties. July 2015, Lou Lamoriello was hired as GM of the Maple Leafs. That was a Shanahan hiring, the way Nonis was a Shanahan firing. April 2018, Lamoriello is no longer the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs. 1 month later, Kyle Dubas is hired as GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs. A year after that, MLSC, they're so happy with Brendan Shanahan, he signs a six-year contract to remain as president and alternate governor, which is going to be come to a completion at the end of 2025. 4 years after that, May 2023, 1 year ago, Kyle Dubas is fired as general manager of the Maple Leafs, who, by the way, was hired over Mark Hunter, because that's the names we were hearing. And May 2023, 1 year ago, Brad Treliving was hired as GM of the Maple Leafs. Treliving went out. He went to get a bunch of complimentary players to try and, fill out the roster. They were eliminated in round one. And now Sheldon Keefe, May of 2024, who had 1 year ago signed a contract extension that was going to kick in starting next season, it doesn't even have a chance to kick in. He's fired. It's a very simple question I'm going to ask you. Whether you think Keefe is responsible or you think Dubas is responsible, how is Shanahan not fired?
Well,
It's all him.
We haven't been officially told he's still in the fold. I think we need to be a little careful between now and tomorrow morning, right? Like, the assumption is he's staying. If the press conference tomorrow at 10:30 here in Toronto has Shanahan, Treliving, and the new CEO of the whole operation, Keith Pelley. And if you guys aren't familiar with Keith Pelley in Montreal, this guy's been a mover and shaker at TSN and Sportsnet his whole life and goes over to Europe to take over the European tour. And now he's back. This is his dream gig. This is his first media veil as well. Now, what we don't know is everything. Past Keith being fired today, I'm under the impression Shanahan is going to be there for the final year of his contract.
So
why else would he be there, obviously?
Correct.
But does that mean lame duck? Like, does that mean a different role? Is Pelley now taking a much more hands-on approach? Do you need Shanahan's role anymore? Is he going to take up a different role? Like, that is, like firing your coach the day before a press conference usually sets the tone for what the press conference is going to be. It's going to be like a sliver of that press conference tomorrow.
But why didn't they just fire him a couple of days ago? This way he doesn't have to come out, meet with the media, answer a bunch of questions, knowing that they're going to fire him anyway. Does it make sense?
You're preaching to the choir, man. I don't, because like I keep hearing this bullshit line that, well, you owe it to him to do this, that, and the other. He does not represent your organization's view anymore.
Correct.
Out. And I'm not saying that in any disrespectful way. One of the worst things I've ever seen an organization do was when the Leafs let Brian Burke on the way out just sling arrows at the media after he was fired. I'm sure they thought they were doing him a favor, but that really didn't come off well. And even last year, in the middle of the negotiation, Shanahan says to Kyle Dubas, I really don't think you should speak, man. I really don't think this is a good idea. And they let him do it, and it led to chaos. It led to chaos. Now, Sheldon didn't say anything crazy this week at all. Nothing. He was a professional through and through. But he doesn't represent your view anymore, unless there was complete chaos in the back rooms that we're not aware of. Like I was listening to Chris Johnston today, and he says this move was not unanimous up top. There were people fighting for Keith. I can tell you exactly who it was, because when you go back and watch that video from Sheldon Keefe today by the lake, he thanked everyone in that MLSC organization except for one person. And the one person he did not thank was Pelley. He thanked everyone else. It's there as clear as day. Wow. I think Pelley wanted this. I think Shanahan, even to this moment, we'll find out tomorrow, Shanahan, even in this moment, was fighting for his guy. I both admire it and am horrified by it at the same
time. Well, because firing Keith doesn't make Shanahan look good, because it's his guy and he had confidence in him. Mind you, if he would have fought too hard for him, and then the onus is on Shanahan, and that doesn't get better either. It's a very tricky situation, a very slippery slope here.
You don't look good either way.
No.
Because on top of that, you're still coming back potentially as a lame duck president. I don't know how many lame duck presidents I've ever seen in the National Hockey League.
So one of the things I was thinking about today was, you know what? The Canadians do certain things better than the Leafs, and the Canadians aren't perfect by any stretch, but this administration of Gordon and Hughes, the way they're doing things, they have a plan, and they're not swaying from the plan at all. Like, their plan was to get younger, they're getting younger. Their plan was to trade certain players, they traded them. Their plan was to go out and get first round picks, and they got it for Monahan. And the plan was all along was to end up trading him after a year or two, and then boom, end up getting another first round pick. Everything was according to plan. And the thing is, with Toronto, everything is not according to plan, because Keith once again had that extension, but they fired him. But now it kind of makes sense when you say, well, Pelley comes in, and so Pelley wasn't part of Keith extending. Kelly wasn't part of so many other things that took place. So Kelly comes in and he says, no, this guy is gone. And there you have it. So maybe it is Kelly that's going to be calling the shots above Brendan
Shannon. I think it was Pelly. I think it was Pelly 100%. All good.
Yeah.
I think it was Pelly. Listen, that was it. This the fact that that kind of happened in the video. I don't know how many people picked that up in the video. But that stuck out like a sore thumb.
Let's watch the video. You want to watch it? Let's watch
it.
Go
ahead.
Yeah.
Time has come to say goodbye. Writing down a note and sending it out didn't seem like enough, and I do plan on taking a little break from media, so here I am. I'm forever grateful for the opportunity to coach the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's a dream come true for a boy from Brampton. I want to thank Kyle Dubas, Lou Lamoriello, Brad Treliving, Brandon Pridham, Brendan Shanahan, Larry Tannenbaum, and the MLSE board for giving me this opportunity to work with the Marlies and Leafs. I didn't get it done in the playoffs. I didn't help push our team over the line and deliver. I accept responsibility for that. No excuses. That's the job. I didn't get it done. It's the reality of the business, and I accept it. To the players, I appreciate all your efforts. Your talents and your work ethic made me look good on a lot of nights. Anyone who suited up for blue and white, I appreciate you. To the support staff of the Maple Leafs, you're tremendous people and you're elite at what you do. Players and support staff will drive the team to success. I believe it will win. Leafs Nation, you deserve your Stanley Cup. Your passion at home and on the road is unmatched. It's an incredible honor to coach the Maple Leafs, to try to deliver for you. To the media, had to deal with you every single day, sometimes twice a day, three times a day. I appreciate your process. I respected the fact that you're honest and fair and had a job to do. I hope you appreciated the fact that I helped you do it. I don't know what comes next, but I know I'll be ready for it. In the meantime, I'll enjoy giving my family the time that they deserve. Love you all and be well.
Well, we actually heard it. We didn't watch it, but that is among
the classiest. We got the gist, though.
Yep. That is that's the classiest thing I've ever heard from someone who just lost their job, let me tell you.
That's how you do it, man. But you know what? I don't have a bad thing to say about Keith in that way. Not one. He's going to go to another market. He's going to probably get two more chances in his career, at least, because his winning percentage is that good. And I wish him the best. I don't have a bad thing to say. Like, he handled a lot of Toronto media stuff, and he was pretty okay with it. Like, he kept an even keel.
Would you have fired him?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's time to make people uncomfortable. This hockey team has not made someone in the room uncomfortable in a long time.
You obviously don't think he's a great coach. Like, I'm not going to get rid of a guy who I think is a good coach because
but they're different kind of great coaches. Like that, like, how are you telling me the Buffalo Sabres wouldn't beg this guy to get them into the playoffs?
1,000%. I'll also 1,000%. I understand him getting fired, right? Because as you said, ultimately he didn't get it done in the playoffs. But you know what? He eliminated John Cooper a year ago. You could tell me that it was lucky and they won three games in overtime or whatever. He got it done. You don't go from eliminating John Cooper in Tampa Bay 1 year ago to 1 year later not being a good coach. He's a good coach. But there's something wrong in the composition of this team. Like, the ingredients, there's some ingredients that are probably too much and there's some ingredients that are missing. Clearly, I think the distribution of the cap money is not good.
It's the worst I've ever seen. We can go a step further. Worst I've ever seen. Like, I'm going through, honestly, can I go off camera here for 2 seconds or two?
Do whatever you want to do. This is your show tonight.
As I'm looking, God bless Cap Friendly. I'm going through Cap Friendly.
Yes, do it.
I have Suzuki 7-8, Caulfield 7-8,
yeah.
Gallagher 6-5, Josh Anderson.
5-5.
And I know that's a rough looking number considering his numbers, but I hear you.
Yeah.
But where's the mistake here? I don't see a mistake. I see a base where the cement is dried. And if two of those guys go ham and become different types of players, like, you're getting an all-star at 7-8. John Tavares is at 11 and had one good year. One, he had a 47 goal year when he showed up with the Leafs.
And Nick Suzuki right now at age 24 is better than Tavares.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Now, do we live in a world where, because Tavares really doesn't make actual real money this coming season, the cap stays the same, obviously, but
yeah,
like, is he's technically a cheaper real dollars pickup. Is someone out there looking for the one of the better faceoff guys in hockey?
You take a sure. look. You take a look. The Canadiens acquired, and I know he's been injury prone in his career, right? But I'm going to give you an example, right? The Canadiens acquired Kirby Dach for, you know, they gave Romanov up to the Islanders, gave up a couple of picks. They got Dach. He doesn't make a lot of money. And he signed up for the next 4 years. I mean, it was a steal, but the Rangers got Zibanejad for Derek Brassard. I mean, there are teams that go out and get second line centermen. You take a look at, you know, it's not that hard nowadays. I know it sounds crazy, but it's not that hard to get a second line centerman. They could have either kept Kadri or end up getting another second line centerman. And you have $11 million that you're giving to Matt, to Tavares. You could have given it to a goalie and a stay at home defenseman. You could have had one of the best goalies in the league and one of the best first pairing defensemen in the league for $11 million total.
But Tavares to this day, sorry, Tom. Tavares to this day, I still, and I'm on Twitter, you can see it. I did support that signing when it happened. What I wasn't budgeting for was the lack of budgeting that went on after. Because I'm fine. You want to have two centers making 10 minimum? We can talk about that. The money's got to go the other way now. Blue line, two $5 million defensemen, a goalie at four. You got to spread that out. You got to spread that out and develop someone, or because the like that Zibanejad trade you brought up is a classic one. That's where you had an option to maybe mix it up when it wasn't working. The way the Leafs cap is right now, there's no option. You can't even try because everyone's buddies.
Yeah.
Everyone's buddies. Did you notice how much Stanley Cup talk was at the Leafs locker cleanout Monday? Zero. It was, we love each other and we're good guys and we're right there. John Tavares doesn't know what right there means.
Well, you know,
and
what?
That was what was going on here.
Sometimes you need some bad guys in your locker room. Not all good guys, because 100%. All good guys end up playing like good guys on the road, and you end up losing game seven on the road when you're all good guys. But, you know, look, I look at that Boston-Florida game last night, all right? Florida wiped Boston, but Pasternak, he answered the bell, and he fought, and he took a couple of punches in the face. We're talking about a guy who was a 50-goal scorer. We're talking about a guy who's this guy's a superstar in the league, right? Would the Leafs superstars take punches to the face by Matthew Tkachuk if they had to, and actually just drop the gloves and fight and trade punches and take punches? Do they have that in their locker room?
They have two. Max Domi's one, and he's not the biggest guy.
No.
And the other guy's 40 years old. Giordano would have done it. But the guy didn't even play.
But none of their stars would do it. And you know how, you know, it goes a long way when the biggest superstar on your team is doing that, because now he's put the team ahead of everyone else. Like what Pasternak did yesterday, he took a real big punch in the face. I get it. But you know what? He sent the message to his entire team that he's all in. And that
the look on Jim Montgomery's face when he asked him to fight.
Yeah.
Go back and watch that. Oh, like, and I'm sure every other guy on that bench, when it filtered out, had the same look. I'm telling you, the Bruins are winning that series. That, to me, is a very important moment. In a nothing game, do you know how many Leafs in a 6-1 nothing game would do that? Give me a break. Pasternak, a guy who hasn't done what much, well, he scored a big goal the other night, but let's be honest here, he's at a terrible stretch. He's not only trying to wake himself up here, but he's trying to prove to the guys, look, I'm in this with you.
What did you make of Pasternak's game-winning goal versus Toronto? Game seven in overtime, because we've watched the highlight 1,000 times over again. I think we get the feeling that it was a set play, that Pasternak takes the puck, he drops it back to Hampus Lindholm, and then he's off to the races. He catches the Toronto Maple Leafs on a change. I think it's Bertuzzi that goes off and Marner to come on. So, you know, Pasternak is in full flight. Marner just comes on, so his feet are kind of like cut in quicksand. Tavares is on the ice. Nylander's on the ice. Morgan Riley's on the ice. You saw the reaction from Samsonov in goal. How did you see it?
I can't believe people are all over Samsonov for that goal. Like Samsonov, this is the guy, if he leaves his crease at all, he gets crucified in the set.
You're right.
Crucified. So yeah. You're telling me on a puck that is flaming off that end board, you want him to go 50? Imagine losing the series that way. You got Samsonov out of his crease 50-50 with 88, and that's how the Leafs lose the series. You want him now to be Johnny Bauer. You want him now to be the hero. Really. Dumbest thing I've heard in years.
By the way,
that was idiotic. Everyone else is looking at Pasternak, do whatever he wants. But honestly, man, if that was the end of this Leaf kind of era, that's about as fitting a way to end it as you could possibly have.
Great point by picking it up. An analysis by Pierre Maguire on the Sick podcast, The Eye Test, our sister podcast, who says you do that on a clean sheet of ice after the Zamboni has passed. That's why it's bouncing off the boards and it's coming right out the Pasternak that way. Because if that's 10 minutes into that overtime period,
different,
not bouncing out that way. But
that's such a great point.
It's an amazing point. The impression I got is not that there was one player in particular that was responsible. I don't know if you see it the same way, but I think that game-winning goal told me a lot. And that was, it's kind of like everyone saying, yeah, well, the other guy will take care of it. But no one ends up taking care of it.
Blaming one person for that goal for me, I have a hard time, but because it's such a collective moment. It's such a collective moment. If anything, the 1-1 goal says more to be about the team than the 2-1 winner.
You can't
hold the lead for more, like for 90 seconds, guys. You can't even do that. That to me is wow.
Let's play a couple of clips from Sheldon Keefe's year-end presser. We'll play them one after another.
What expectation do you have that you will get a chance to see this through next season or have another kick at it?
So, you know, I'm in the coaching business, and in the coaching business, you don't get to make decisions about your position. So for me, it's out of my control. My job is to find solutions and help direct and create a path for our team to continue to move forward, and that's my focus. I understand that ownership and management, you know, they make those types of decisions. And I accept responsibility for not meeting results. I believe in myself greatly. I love coaching the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now more than ever, I believe in myself and our team and that I will win and our team will win. I've been through a lot, you know, as a coach in my career and to get to this level and I've won a lot, you know, before coming here. And the path always looks different, but you learn along the way, and I've learned a lot through my experience, and I know I'm in a good place. That decision's out of my control. You know, my job is to continue to work to find solutions and continue to improve as a coach, and then at the same time, you know, take accountability for the fact that we haven't met expectations. And decisions like you're alluding to are out of my control, but I certainly would like the attention and focus to be on me because as the head coach, you're the leader and you got to be accountable when you don't meet expectations.
All right. What did you make of that at the time?
That was Monday. He was the only guy taking accountability.
Yeah.
I did not hear anyone on the player side on that locker cleanout Monday at Scotiabank Arena, aside from maybe Morgan Riley a little, say, I need to be better. That includes Tavares.
You know, I've said a lot of stupid things in my life. So here goes another one. All right. Because once you've said about 1,000 stupid things, it doesn't matter if you say another one. it almost sounded like, I'm not going to tell you he wanted to be fired. He's a Brampton boy, like you said, right? Coaching the Leafs was a dream, but it's almost sometimes you're in a place for 4 or 5 years, but it seems like you've been there for 12. And sometimes you're actually looking forward to the next team that you're going to go to because you need that fresh start and you need to breathe a little bit easier. Did you get the feeling that, I mean, not that he's coming out to say, you know, please fire me here, but it was his way of saying, I'm okay if this happens here.
Potentially. I don't know. I think the one thing we can pick from that, though, that he was really saying was he said a couple times, I believe in myself. And that's code. Like he followed up with, I believe in our team. But he said, I believe in myself first, which is Morse code for any team right now looking for a coach.
And maybe a shot at if there's somebody in the organization that doesn't believe in me, I don't care what you think, because I believe in myself.
100%. He may have been talking to a lot of people there.
Okay. I know your time is precious and you got breakfast television tomorrow. Where do we go from here? Keefe is gone. We'll find out tomorrow about Shanahan. You and I both think that Shanahan will at least see out the final year of his contract. Mitch Marner's deal is up at the end of the year. And so is John Tavares' deal up at the end of the year. What would you do with the core? Because, you said you got to get people's attention. I imagine you got to shake things up here. Are you willing to stay with the core or are you trading guys?
I don't know if you can trade guys. Like, that's the one thing I can't shake.
I know you can't lose them for nothing, though, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. You can't lose
them for nothing. But here's the thing. Like, the Maple Leafs, we're still working in this world where the Leafs are Stanley Cup contenders. They're not. Tone, do you know what their biggest problem is right now? Their farm system is empty. Dubas did a number on, you thought Anthopoulos did a number on the Jays system when he went for it in 2015. Go through the Leafs system right now outside of Easton Cowan and Fraser Minton. There's nothing there. There's no one in the Marlies. Like, Connor Timmins was almost playing playoff games. There's no one there. If you trade Marner, like, I personally, considering it's his last year, same with Tavares, I think the best thing you can do right now for Bradshaw Living is picks. And let some of these other guys come up and earn their ice.
Yeah, but then by the time those picks end up becoming good players, I mean, you've wasted the best years of Matthews and Nylander.
So then you don't sign Matthews for 4 years, do you? Like a chooch. Right. And everyone around here is saying, you didn't want Matthews at 8 years anyway. That wasn't going to age well, that contract. Sure. Sure, that contract's going to age. He has more goals than anyone in his draft class.
You're right.
And that's the thing that we're not talking about here, which is more dangerous than Marner's deal. Tavares, another year of that. Anyway, so that means the big issue.
Matthews in his prime, you got to secure him for as long as possible.
I'm with you. But again, another screw up by this organization when they don't get it. But let me answer your questions. One,
yeah,
I got to trade Marner as quickly as humanly possible. Quickly as humanly possible. He is not his game. He has no playoff game in him. Zero. And Tavares,
doesn't he have the most points out of all the Leafs players since they've all been here in the playoffs?
Well, I believe Nylander's the guy, at least recently.
Nylander's the guy, I think, points per game, but I think Marner's the guy with the most points.
Marner had a decent stretch for a little bit. His last two series have been a disaster.
Okay.
And that's all anyone really is going to remember right now. So I would trade Marner immediately, because you're not going to, unless you're going to pay him what he wants. He wants 11, if not 11.6.
I hate
you're not going to give him that.
I will give you 1 minute and I'm going to make you finish off the show. Okay.
Go ahead.
In Sid Cicero fashion, the way I've watched you and watched you for years and years and years and continue to watch you even now on breakfast television, all these amazing clips that I find on social media. I asked you what you would do with the Leafs. Give me your 1 minute, what you would do with the Leafs, but give it to me in a rant, in a Sid fashion. Go. Do it.
You trade Marner, roster player, prospect, pick and return. You tell John Tavares, I'm taking the captaincy, I'm giving it to Matthews, and you're playing 15 minutes a night. And if you don't like that, I can give you 12 minutes a night. And if you don't like that, I can give you 10 minutes a night. I go out and I find a coach who hasn't won yet, but has won some games in this league and is on a second job. Stanley Cup coaches don't win you shit. They don't get you anything. They don't guarantee you anything. And if I'm Keith Pelley, I go out there yesterday or tomorrow, and I tell the fan base, your clientele, your people, your folks who fill that place night in and night out, we are doing one thing here. We're not calling it a core. We're not paying people right away. We are doing smart things to win, which this organization has not done since 2018. That is what I would do.
That's the best rant I've heard from you since your rant on Lionel Messi back in the days of...
Why are you always going to bring up the Messi? Always the Messi. Always a messy hat, really. Really? Oh, this is all Inter Miami. Okay. Okay.
Oh, the other side. Oh, there
we go. No, it's yours upside down. It's upside down.
We got it. We got it. There we go.
No Luis Suarez flag back there? Nothing? Nothing.
And the reason why I got this ready is because on Saturday night is going to be CF Montreal versus Inter Miami.
Is he going to play?
He's going to play. I got my press accreditation and everything, and I got my hats. And if you don't like the black one, I got the pink one.
Well, there could be member of the Leafs going to Miami. You never know.
That was still a great moment in television, by the way, when you talked about Lionel Messi. Hey, you're amazing, man. I love you, buddy. And I know you don't do a lot of these anymore, so the fact that you were able to join me on the Sick Podcast, it means a lot to me, man.
Tony, love you, brother.
Thank you very much.
Nothing but respect to you and everyone there, and take care, man. Have a good
Thank you. There you have it. Sid Sixero of Breakfast Television, formerly of Sid and Ted. All right, Marinaro, let me talk to you about Energy Transportation Group, a full service leading logistics provider serving all of North America. Driven to be different, that is. Also talk to you about Labitta TB, brewed in Quebec, whenever it does international awards. They offer quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. Labitta TB, embrace your true nature. I want to talk to you about WPT Montreal taking over Playground once again, featuring two live streamed and fully televised events. Dive into the action with the WPT 500 Montreal Championship, WPT Prime Montreal Championship, and the Grand WPT Montreal Championship with over 4.2 million in total guarantees. It's a series you don't want to miss. Mark your calendars from May 9th to May 22nd for nonstop poker excitement. For more information, visit playground.ca. Don't miss out on the action at Playground and Accent Insurance Solutions. All insurance isn't created equal. And you know where to find the right solution for you. That's Accent Insurance. Accent doesn't sell insurance. They shop it for you to find the right product right on the money. Whatever your insurance needs, home, automobile, or business, call the Accent team at 514-363-3636. All right. This was a case study on the Leafs, where they went wrong. And you heard what Sid Sixero had to say. For him, it was about the way they complemented the core. It was about at one point you spend the money where you spent it. But then you have to go out and you have to be able to shore up at goalie on defense. It was, and so he had a lot to say, and he's willing to trade a couple of players already. He wants to shake it up. He was in agreement with relieving Sheldon Keefe of his duties. And here you go. Tomorrow, we're going to find out more about the fate of Brendan Shanahan, and we'll find out more about who's going to be the next coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, I would imagine, in the very near future. I'm putting a dollar on Craig Berube. Thank you all for watching on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitter. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple. It's our way of feeling the love. Tell your friends about it. And here you go. Montreal Canadiens, you heard where the Toronto Maple Leafs screwed up. Don't make the same mistake. And it seems like Sid already likes some of the Montreal Canadiens contracts, where their best player is paid $7.875 million and not making 13 and 14, like you'll find in Toronto. And making a lot more, and making less than Tavares. And I think we like our Nick Suzuki. Huh? For Agnello and Sammy at Master Control, I'm Marinaro. Have a good night. The Sick Podcast will be back tomorrow. Enjoy the playoffs.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TB. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.